In every share I try and please you, but I hope in this share I'll really make you happy. We're very, very much coming towards the end of the Torah here. And as the minute goes, Simchas Torah is when we finish a lady, we start all over again, which means these parashas are dangerously close to Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it's obviously Hashgacha Pratis that we should be reading these parashas of Klolos, the Gemara brings down the parashas of Klolos before Rosh Hashanah, to instill us with the correct Yerushalayim, the correct Hashgachas. But there's one particular thought I want to go through in this week's parasha, which I believe is key, the Bala Musas talk about, is key to becoming a real Jew, and without that, a person, Lemaisa, is absolutely a practicing Goy. What is that? Let's go through this carefully. Parashas Kisavoy talks about Bikurim, then he moves on to the Toichacha. And Toichacha says as follows, in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Tesvov. V'hoyo im leisishma v'kod Hashem alekecho, if you would not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, las his kol mitzvayisov, to do all his mitzvahs, b'chol koyisov and his chukim, asher noichi mitzavcho hayom, that I command you, u'bo'o elecho kol haklolos ha'ele v'hisigucho, all these klolos will come upon you and they will reach you. And then the Pasuk goes and details the klolos, orato be'ir, you should be cursed in the city, orato be'sod, you be cursed in the field, you'll be cursed here, you'll be cursed there, and it describes a holocaust, it describes total destruction, annihilation, absolutely terrible. But what's a posuk that introduces why this happens? If you do not listen to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means, why is it that you'll have all the terrible klalus? Because did not follow his mitzvahs. In other words, the cause of you receiving all these klolos is a failing to fulfill the mitzvahs. Much later on, many, many psukim later on, in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, it says, Tachas asher leivadato es Hashem lekecho besimcho ubetuv lev amarov koil. Why is it that you'll receive all these punishments? Why is it that you receive all these terrible, terrible klolos? It's because Tachas asher levato es Hashem lekecho besimcha tov lev rov kol. It's because you did not fulfill the mitzvahs besimcha. So there's an obvious stira over here. There's an obvious stira. Is it that you get the klolos because not fulfilling the mitzvahs, or you are fulfilling the mitzvahs but not doing them besimcha? Why do you get the klolos over here? Okay. So obviously the beginning of the parasha says, Hoyel lo yisishma v'kod Hashem lekecho, did not listen to me, did not fulfill the mitzvahs. And the end it says, Tachas ha-shalivat ha-shalim lekecho b'simcha, because God didn't do it b'simcha. So what is it? That you are fulfilling the mitzvahs, but not doing it b'simcha, or not fulfilling the mitzvahs at all? What's going on? That's number one. Okay? Secondly, Rabbeinu Bachaya talks and describes in detail, and he says that the fact that this pasuk talks about simcha and a mitzvah, he describes at two separate levels. There's fulfilling the mitzvah, and there is a kiyum of simcha within a mitzvah. In other words, a person can shake a lulav and fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. Besides that, there's a separate element that you get schar for, and that is the mitzvah of being besimcha when you're doing the mitzvah. And that's what the pasuk's talking about, two separate things, which is very, very difficult to understand. In other words, why are you getting a holocaust? Why are we getting our children butchered? Why are we having mothers eating their own children? What's all this about? Why? Because we do not fulfill the extra element of a mitzvah of doing it besimcha. It just seems a bit overkill. It seems a bit far-fetched to try and expect from us the simcha, and if you don't, you get a holocaust. Fine, I fulfilled the mitzvah, I did everything, I had a brisket luluv, I had a wonderful matzah, I had a chaim shel yad, I did everything, kachumras, and I did everything, not done besimcha, I get all these terrible things. Doesn't seem to make sense. So the Kotzker's got a very sweet pshat. Sweet. So Kotzker is a drush. He says, Tachas ashelvato es Hashem lekecho besimcha. He says, if you want to do an aveira, do an aveira. But be miserable about it. Why getting this all terrible klolos? Tachas ashelvato es Hashem lekecho. Because you did not serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How? Besimcha. You did not serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu besimcha. In other words, when he served a Kodesh Baruch Hu, did aveiras, he did it besimcha. Tachas asher levato Hashem lekecho, how? Besimcha. When I did not perform the mitzvah, did it besimcha. So if you're doing an aveira, be miserable about it. Be upset about it. Be confused. Okay? Are you doing a very confused? Badub simcha, with the full enthusiasm, huh, that you deserve a terrible punishment. We say in Al-Chait Shuchtonu Fanecho, Beritzas Raglaim Nahora, running to do bad. If you do bad, never you do bad. But running with enthusiasm, that is something which is a step beyond. That you deserve a klodus for. There's a certain mashkiach, I forgot who it was, one of the older yeshivas in Volozhin, or one of these places, where somebody came to him, he was holding nothing. His fellow never went off the derech, him a communist, and he held absolutely nothing. He said to his mashkiach, "You should know every single day I hate you." So why? He said, "I'm doing a very sedeh, not giving anything, but I feel so bad about it. I feel so bad about it. If not for you, I'll be enjoying what I'm doing. Because of you, I feel miserable. And I hate you every day for giving me that feeling of being miserable." Here, the pasuk is saying, on the contrary, you're doing naveiros besimcha. And that's says Akotsky deserve all the klodos. Look at this one pshat mishchachma, there's another pshat that I'm not going into. But what is a real pshat? What's the pshat over here, the pasuk, that just because you're missing simcha, that's what happens? Rav Zilberstein brings a beautiful story. And I believe it answers the question. People ask, how do you find simcha in a mitzvah? People ask, you know, go to Bali Musa, they go to Vadim. How do you find simcha in a mitzvah? How do you have pleasure in a mitzvah? The fact that such a question is asked, and we see the question as being a legitimate question, shows how distant we are from reality. Now, does anyone come to a psychologist or Rav and ask, how do you find simcha in winning $1 million? Of course you find simcha. How do you find simcha in a mitzvah? It means that we are so involved in blindness, we are so involved in what we believe is pleasure, that we see no simcha in a mitzvah. It shows how distant we are from reality. Rav Zilberstein brings a story that in old shchunot in Yerushalayim, they used to build them with very little infrastructure. In other words, they'd build them the houses, but not necessarily the phone lines, and not necessarily the power lines. That's why you find, you know, shchunot with the electricity wires all over the place. They'll build the houses with the infrastructure put later. And sometimes it'd come quite a bit later. So it happened that one particular shchuna in Yerushalayim, they built as a new neighborhood, but there was no phone lines were put down. And therefore the whole shchuna, the whole neighborhood didn't have any phone line at all. There was one particular person in that neighborhood that was still connected to the old neighborhood. And somehow his house was in the area of the new neighborhood, but he was still connected to the old neighborhood. So what happens when only one fellow in the whole shchuna has a telephone? Okay, nobody wants to bother him, but certain pressing issues. You know, you have to call a doctor in the middle of the night, you have to go knock on his door. You have to tell your mother that your daughter got engaged, you knock on his door. If you have to tell an urgent message to to go abroad, you have to knock on his door. And that's what people were doing on a regular basis, knocking on his door. Not only that, what happens if people from Chutz Ha'aretz have to let people in his shchuna know what's going on? Right? You know, you get a phone call from abroad, you know, the guy doesn't have a phone, please tell my cousin who lives 3 streets away that I'm coming to visit him in 2 days' time, he should please fetch me from the port. Or, please tell my son that his brother passed away. So therefore he was now not only getting people knocking on his door, but running around giving out messages in his shchuna. That's what a general, irregular person do. Put a note in his door, this is not a public call box. Take a hike. This person was a Talmud Chacham, and a person, he had a sensitivity that these phone calls were not stam phone calls, it was pekuch nefesh, and to help people. So he discussed it with the Rav. And the Rav said to him that the way to go about this phone call is to look at it like this. And he said, you know, in the old times, he says, I don't know when today, there's the same kind of appreciation. He said, imagine the President of the United States. In the old days when you had a President of the United States. Imagine he would phone you up and he'd say to you, he'd phone you up and say, listen, do me a favor. On the next phone call, please give that person that message through. In other words, it's going to be a person phoning you up in 5 minutes' time. Please deal with it in the correct way. Of course you do it. Imagine Rav Chaim Kanievsky phones up and says, listen, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but somebody who is going to phone now in 5 minutes' time, he's going to ask you to give a message to his friend 2 streets away. Please deal with that message. Would he do it? Of course he'd do it. What a kovod. What a fantastic kovod. He said, Rabbeinu Shalom, not Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and for sure not Barack Obama. Yet Rabbeinu Shlomo himself is telling you, do a chesed. And a chesed you do, I'm asking you, do this chesed. Do you know what simcha you get by following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dictates? Hashem is telling you to do the chesed. What a covet! HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking me a nothing, a boss of a dom to do a chesed for somebody else? Of course you do it. And he said more than that. Imagine being woken up in the middle of the night to do a chesed. And every time a person wakes you up, you're going to get $1,000 mizuman, $1,000 cash. You'd be only too happy to be woken up 10 times in the middle of the night. $10,000, fantastic. A quiet night, oh, you'd be miserable. He said, that is nitzchis. Every phone call you get, every chesed you get, is nitzchis. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Like my Rosh Hashiva once said, Reb Chaim Kaufman, what is nitzchis? He said once there was a huge hall in Gateshead, it was in Pirkenseum. He said, imagine a bird. Imagine this entire hall was filled up from ground to ceiling, from wall to wall, with sesame seeds. And once in every 1,000 years, a bird will come and take one sesame seed out of this hall. How many billions and trillions of years would it take to empty out this hall? And he says, Rabbi Isai, that is a fraction of nitzchis. That is a fraction of eternity. Every time you do a mitzvah, it's eternal. It's forever and ever. What an opportunity. Having relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, standing by Rabbi Shalom, following his mitzvahs. You know, you see a person, they have to have people with all different pictures, all different... presidents or philanthropists on the wall. You know, a person that I've been to a certain relative of mine in Hollywood, Florida. He goes all over the world, cashering hotels, and he's got pictures with Reagan and with Begin and with Paris and with Shmeris, all over the place. And he's got pictures, and it's a hit famous, a big thing. And every one of the pictures, he's smiling. Wow, you know, he's sitting there, standing, shaking the president's hand. Wow, fantastic. Here he's shaking the Bein Shalim's hand every time. It's a relationship with the Bein Shalim. He's smiling there. It shouldn't be done by simcha. You don't get enjoyment out of this. So the very fact that we ask, how do you find simcha in a mitzvah, is because we're totally blinded. We have no idea. We have no concept of what a mitzvah is. What do we see as pleasure? What do we see as geschmack? What pleases us? What excites us? A nice car, a nice whiskey, a nice pair of shoes. That's what excites us. That excites a donkey. Not the Eved Hashem. There's a story that they say that the Reb Leib Telzer, the Vilna Gaon said about Reb Leib Telzer, he was neshama b'li guf. He was in this world, he's neshama b'li guf. So one time, the army was run by a philosopher, a very, very wise man, and the army came to town, a strange army came to town, and they wanted to find one person to take them around town and show them all the different places and all where people hide, etc. So everyone disappeared. Nobody wanted to be found to go around with this army general. Who knows what they'll do to them, who'll torture them, who knows? So all ran away, and Nebuch, this Reb Leib Telzer, was sitting around the Beis Medrash learning. They storm into the Beis Medrash, pick him up, and he takes his sefer with him, his talis and tefillin on, and he starts walking with them. And the general says to him, show me around town. So he's still davening and learning, and he shows over here the town square, and he shows over here the lookout point, and he shows over here the police station, and he shows around town. Somewhere along the line, he suddenly veers off the path, and he goes into the middle of the forest. So the soldiers say, what's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? He's supposed to be showing us the way through the village, and he's going through the forest. Kill the guy! So the general said, no, I want to see what he's doing. Without even missing a beat, he turns around and says, excuse me, it's now time to daven mincha, and I have to daven mincha. So you have this whole army with all the top brass waiting there, and he's davening a mincha. He doesn't daven a quick mincha. He davens a mincha like he's supposed to daven. And he is davening, and his face is shining. The general waited for him, and he says, you just know that your olam haba, the world that I believe you're going to get, the future world, I'm not jealous of. I've got no connection with. I have no shaykhus with. You are ish kodesh, I'm not. There's no connection between my world and your world. What I am jealous of is this world. I'm jealous of the love that you have for a mitzvah. You can enjoy this world so much. That's what I'm jealous of. A simcha shel mitzvah is a fact. If a person relates with reality, the reality is that a mitzvah is infinite. A mitzvah is reality. Anything else is falseness. A mitzvah is life. Everything else is sheker. And therefore, why do we do a mitzvah? If we are not doing a mitzvah b'simcha, why are we doing a mitzvah? Because we're forced to. You know why we're forced to? because society tells us to, because our parents told us to, because our friends told us to. And if that's the case, we're not doing Rabbeinu Shlomo's mitzvahs b'chlal. We're doing our own mitzvahs. There's one particular man, Rebbe Becha, said in one shir, he said there's a I don't say what chassid he is, a chassid from a very, very well-known sect in America. He was there, with his shtreimel, with his bekicher, with his payas, with his white socks, the works, the shmoyne begodim, the full eight clothes, everything. He said to Rabbi Becha, "You should just know, I do not believe in Rabbeinu Shlomo. I'm an apokrius. I do not believe in Rabbeinu Shlomo." So Rabbi Becha said to him, "So why dress the way you dressed? Why live in the place you live?" He said, "Because it's very comfortable. I know what my wife is doing. My kids are in a good society. I get easy shidduchim. I got people respect me for my job. I'm very comfortable where I am. But I don't really believe in Hashem." You seem shocked. But unfortunately, this is something that many, many, many people are actually living through. In other words, if a person is doing a mitzvah and is not doing it b'simcha, means he has no realization at all that it's Rabbeinu Shlomo that is making him do the mitzvah, and he's going to benefit from it. He believes he's doing it for himself. And if you do it for yourself, and you're forced to do it, you're not doing it because Rabbeinu Shlomo told you to. It's because you are serving yourself. You're serving your best interest. Society tells you you're supposed to be doing it, and that is where your role is in society. That is showing where a person is holding. After 120, the Shaar Tshuva brings down. Shaar Tshuva says as follows. Read out what he says. Yeda, no, ki nefesh harosha, the nefesh of a rosha, asher kol tavosoi lechepte haguf, the rosha, all his taiva is for the chepte haguf, for what his guf is going to gain from this. V'nifredes tavosoi mevodas habayra. After 120, what's going to happen is, achemoisoi lemata lo'oritz amokim tavosoi, he's going to get schlepped to the ground, and those people who are ruchni is going to get schlepped up to Shemayim. In other words, the Shaar Tshuva does not say a Rosh is a person who eats chaza, who eats cheeseburgers. Shaar Tshuva says, what is a Rosh? Asher kol tavosoi lechevtzei haguf. He's a person keeping every single mitzvah, but he's doing it because of taiva. Because that's what's comfortable, and that is what he feels is best for him, but he shows no enjoyment. He's not doing it because he believes in ruchnius. Does not believe Rabbeinu Shlomo told him to do the mitzvah. Because if he did, and he really understood this, he would be doing it b'simcha. And therefore, that's the first lesson. The first lesson, according to what this pshat is over here, is that no simcha means no connection. No simcha means I'm not doing it for Rabbeinu Shlomo, I'm doing it because I'm forced to do it. I do not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I do not believe in Nitzchias, I do not believe in Olam Haba, I do not believe in Schavu Einish, I'm doing it because I have to do it. That have to do it because that shows no simcha. That is somebody, unfortunately, who's not leisishma b'kodesh Hashem Elokecha. That person's not following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simcha is not something that is just guy dancing top of a lorry with blurry music. That is not simcha. Simcha is somebody who is seriously connected to a mitzvah to an extent that he doesn't leave shul before the end of davening. Has to run out. Oh, the pressure, I have to leave shul. What's the pressure? What's the matter? You know, so during the week you can understand it. Why do people have to leave shul before Anan's Mirrors on Shabbos? What's the matter? The shalom's going to get burnt. What's the story? What's the story? It's because they hate the mitzvah. They have to come to shul because the wife told them to come to shul. Because the kids are making them come to shul. Is that not Ibad Hashem? Absolutely not. Straight after Shabbos, before even Avdolah, run upstairs, you know, to connect onto email. What happened? Who sent you emails? Bechal is Shabbos friends? Who sent you the email? I need to. So let's get rid of Shabbos. Let's get rid of the mitzvah and connect to the Olam HaGashmi. That is somebody who is so connected to Olam HaGashmi is considered the Rosh, says the Shaar Tshuva. Mitoich Shleilishma Balishma is in a very, very early stages of commitment. In other words, there has to be an element of Shleilishma to get you started. But woe to a person whose whole life is only doing a mitzvah because he has to. If a person does a mitzvah because of Olam HaBa, that's also Shleilishma. But that's fantastic level. A person does a simcha shel mitzvah because he knows what schar is going to get. It's unbelievable. Okay? Tzaddikim see no suffering in this world. Tzaddikim didn't see no suffering. A famous story with Rebbe Elimelech. Somebody came to Rebbe Elimelech and said to Rebbe Elimelech, you know, what does it mean, k'shem shevorachim atoy vorachim alara? How does a person appreciate good like they already appreciate bad? So they're asking me, go and ask Rebbe Zusha. went to Rabzusha. Rabzusha went lived in an old little hut with a leaking roof and no windows, broken down furniture. You name it, he never had it. And Nebuch went to Rabzusha and said to Rabzusha, "Tell me, how you kind of put the vort of Hashem Shavorchem Ala Ra? You make a broch on Ra like on Toiv." He says, "You're asking me? I don't see any Ra here. This is all Toiv. I can do a mitzvah. What could be more than that? Have a relation with Bein Shleilim. There is no Ra. It's all Toiv. People, it's only Nebuch, those people who are not connected with the real world, are suffering because of poverty, and are suffering because they're not living in the same houses that other people are living in, or not driving the same cars. People living in the real world are not suffering with these things. And therefore we have to come to realization, a mitzvah is nitzchius, and therefore the simcha we should be doing this mitzvah is unbelievable, and that should ultimately change our whole perspective on Ruchnius Bechlal. But it much goes much deeper than that. The Ksav Sefer says as follows. The Ksav Sefer, listen to this very, very carefully. Now, this is something very, 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 very deep. The Ksav Sefer says as follows. He says, how does a Yetzer Hara get a person to close his Gemara and become an Apikoros? How does a Yetzer Hara, today, Nebuch, we see children going off the Derech? How does a Yetzer Hara take a Cheder boy with Peis and you know, and all the clothing of a frum Jew and get him to be a person, Nebuch, with earrings and shaven head and cut off jeans and Nebuch doing terrible, terrible things he's doing? How does he do it? How does he do it? What does he do to do that? Just told him, that's it, throw it all away. How does he do it? So you know how he does it? Very, very simply. He takes away his simcha. He takes away his enjoyment for a mitzvah. The Ksav Sefer says this, and Reb Gordon says this. He says he doesn't enjoy learning anymore. He doesn't enjoy learning. Next step is, he's not going to learn. And if you don't learn, you don't enjoy the next thing, you don't enjoy Shabbos, you don't keep Shabbos. The Blazer tells her, and the Ksav Sefer said, it's impossible to keep a mitzvah unless you enjoy it. And what the Yetzer Hara does is, he takes away your enjoyment again and again, and he minimizes the enjoyment you have until you keep absolutely nothing. Tachas ashalei vadato es Hashem lekecho. The fact that I did not keep all the mitzvahs, where's the source to that? The source is... No, I'm sorry. Where's the source of v'hoyo im lo sishma? Where's the source of not keeping all the mitzvahs? The source is... It started with tachas asher levata shem lekecha b'simcha. The fact that you have no simcha, that caused you to leave all the mitzvahs behind. Therefore, we're not talking about over here... Ablazer, listen to this. So Ablazer tells her. We're not talking over here about a person's keeping all 613 mitzvahs, and he's not doing it b'simcha. That's the first pshat. The second pshat is, we're talking about a person who receives all the klalos because he's keeping absolutely nothing. He's gone off the derech completely. But the question is, how did he go off the derech? How did he reach the stage of v'hoyo l'me sishma? How does a frum person leave the derech? The derech is, v'hoyo tachas asher levato et Hashem lekecha b'simcha. If the Yetzer Hara can take away your simcha shel mitzvah, if he can take away your enjoyment, the freshness of a mitzvah, he can get light, he can plant that seed of boredom in a mitzvah. You have to be very careful, because it can lead to a stage where you keep absolutely nothing. Rav Moshe would say often, I've often said this in Shir, Rav Moshe says, why does it say, next week's parasha, it says, U'bacharta b'chaim leman tichya ata b'zerechel. You should choose life for the sake of for yourself and your children. Says Rav Moshe. Many, many people came to America and were moisim nefesh to keep Shabbos, but their children all mechalli Shabbos. Why? Because they're moisim nefesh and they groaned. Oy, difficult to be a Jew. Ubacharta b'chaim, says Rav Moshe, you want to choose life. It's got to be a life that you show your children that this is the only thing to live for. To do mitzvahs is our only enjoyment in life. Only then, will you and your children follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you do something and you correct, oi, Pesach cleaning again, I hate those crumbs, I can't, Sukkot is such an expensive yontub, and a person does that, the children are going to say, you know, what do we need this for? There's other alternatives, we'll follow the alternatives. And that means even if the parents are keeping all the mitzvahs, they're not doing it for simcha, that is a first stage to spiritual annihilation. And the next generation will hold absolutely nothing, and that is what the Pasuk is warning you. Therefore, the Pasuk, when it begins with V'hoyim le'sishma, the root to that is of Tachas Shelevat Hashem Lekecho. A big mechanuch was once approached by a chassan and asked for brachas. Father brought his little son and asked the mechanuch for a bracha for his child. He should have geshmak and learning. He should enjoy learning. So the mechanuch said, I'll give you a bracha, but I'd like you to wait around in the hall for a few more minutes. Okay, so waited around in the hall. He's waiting around the hall. He's waiting around the hall, and the mechanuch said to him, wait around a few more minutes. Then the Rosh Hashiva came in. Rosh Hashiva, the chosen, came in and all started singing Yomin and all started dancing around the Rosh Hashiva. He said, that is chinuch for your child. Showing how much they respected Rosh Hashiva. Showing how much honor Rosh Hashiva gets and why they're respecting him. What's all this simcha? What's all this dancing? Because it's their Rosh Hashiva. That is what's going to give your child cheshek and learning. Somebody came to Rabbi Zilberstein and said to him, you should know that what should I do? My son made a shavuah, he's never going to bench again. What am I supposed to do? So Rabbi Zilberstein said, give me the background to this. So the background is, in my house, says the man, we are makpid in every element of benching. You sit straight, you don't touch anything, you look in the siddur with any point, you concentrate every word. That is why I have benching in my house. So Rabbi Zilberstein, that is why your son doesn't want to bench. What is all this? What is all this strictness? You're going to push people away. You're going to if there's no simcha, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're going to push people away. You've got to find the same chelkeinu b'soira sechel. You've got to find our own chelik in the Torah. Some people, you've got to learn chol Torah kula. Whether you like it or not, you've got to learn chol Torah kula. You've got to learn zroim, you've got to learn tarzalot, you've got to learn everything. But the chokhmah is to find a chelik in the Torah that you love so much that's going to connect you to it and that'll help you over all difficult patches.
You cannot imagine how real these things. One boy that I know, he came back from nothing, from nowhere, because he left there, because somebody gave him the ice cream with a note, dear my friend, ta-ta-ta. You cannot imagine that somebody gave him attention and gave him a love from a piece of ice cream. And that's
simcha boiling right across. If you don't have simcha, you have nothing. If you don't give your kids simcha, they have nothing. And that is tachas shelavato shel mekecha b'simcha. In other words, we're talking about not somebody who's keeping all the mitzvahs and not doing it b'simcha. We're talking about a person who's keeping nothing because he is missing simcha. Okay, very, very important. I want to just finish off with one more vote, and that is. Ramotcha Gifter says as follows. Ramotcha Gifter says, in the beginning of the parasha, we talk about bringing Bikurim. Bikurim is a process. A person goes to his field and he plants and he sows and he reaps. And eventually he finds the first new fruit and he puts it and he brings it to Yerushalayim and he decorates it and he's standing at the base of Mikdash and he says this whole declaration. And at the end of the declaration, when he's standing there, the Pasuk says, V'somachto b'chol atoiv, and you shall be happy with all the good Asher nosan l'cha Hashem l'kecha l'Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Asks Ramotcha Gifter, this guy standing with his basket decorated with his own fruit from his own field, you know, fantastic, you go this and you have to be happy. And it's like taking a kid to the circus and saying, oh, you know, you got to be happy. Of course you're happy. What's his mission? V'samachta b'chol atoiv, and should be happy. Of course you're happy. Says Ramotcha Gifter, you know what, he is very happy until he sees somebody else's basket. And he sees his basket with lush fruit and everything else. Fantastic, very happy. He looks over and sees the other person's basket. Whoa, this is fruit. My fruit, that's fruit. Ah, that's not fruit. If I had that other person's fruit, then I'd be happy. No, the Chassidus Shavot. Eizu ha'osheh ha'sameach b'chelkoi. Who's a wealthy man? Who's happy with chelkoi, with his chelik. If I had the other person's chelik, other person washes, then I'd be happy. But my chelik, do me a favor, I should be happy with my chelik. If I had the other person's peiros, then I'd be happy. Said the Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'somachto b'chol atoiv, Asher nosan l'cha Hashem alekecho. You should be happy with all the good that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you. Forget about everybody else. You should be happy with all your fruit, with all your goodness, with all your elements of strength. That's what you should be happy with. Forget about somebody else. And he explains later on as Peshat, an apostle, when the apostle says, Tachas asher levavto es Hashem alekecho b'simcho tuv levav, Meiroiv Koil. What's Meiroiv Koil? If you remember, there's a machlekes Yaakov and Esav. Yeah? Remember this? Yaakov says, Yeshli Koil. I have everything. Esav says, Yeshli Rov. I have a lot. A lot means I have a lot. I still can do a little bit more. That is the fight between Ruchnius and Gashmius. Ruchnius says, I have everything I need in Gashmius. I have everything in Yeshli Koil. That's Yaakov. Esav, I have enough. Until I see the other persons, and it's not enough. I've got to have other persons as well. That is what the Pasuk is saying over here. Tachas asher levato Hashem lekecha b'simcha b'tuv leivov. Why did not serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu b'simcha? Because it's meroiv rather than koil. It's because you thought I have a lot rather than I have everything. If you believed you have everything you need, and everything you could possibly desire, and everything you could possibly help you in avodas Hashem you have, you'd be a lot happier. But what is it? A person thinks, if I'd have this person's head, oh, then I'd be happy. If I had that person's hasmoda, if I can sit down and learn as long as him, then I'd be happy. If I had that person's position in Rabbonus, then I'd be happy. If. And that the problem is, you'll never be happy. Only if you believe I have everything I could possibly need, then you'll be happy. Two quick short stories. Simcha is not based on situation. Simcha is based on the person. A person in the most difficult situations can be besimcha. There's one story that a certain person who came to get married, one of the Bati Dinim around the Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to get married, so obviously had to find out whether he was Jewish. That person knew nothing from nothing. He lived in a kibbutz, he hadn't kept any mitzvahs, he didn't even know if he was Jewish at all. So Rabbonim had to identify as Jewish. He knew nothing, he didn't know Shema, he didn't know what Yom Kippur was, nothing. So they asked him, by any chance, is there anything you remember from your mother that she would say anything Jewish, like Jewish theme or anything? So he said yes. She used to always mumble the words, Tachas asher levato es Hashem alkecha b'simcha. She used to mumble these words like a mantra. And I asked her once where she got it from. And he said, she was with the Klosenberger Rebbe in a concentration camp. The Klosenberger Rebbe had lost his wife and 11 sons. He lost all his chassidim. He lost his status. He was there in a concentration camp with nothing. And he constantly said to himself, Tachas asher levato es Hashem alkecha b'simcha. All this was because I did not do mitzvahs enough with simcha. I've got to work on my simcha. Survival, what simcha? No, simcha is survival. Somebody once said, all stories of simcha are miserable. But it's real. You can have them in the most serious, unfortunate situation, you can be the simcha. It doesn't depend on what other people had. If I only have a family, if I'd only be back in my base of medrash, if I'd only be this. No, right now you have exactly what you need to be the simcha. Work on it. Remei B'Premishlan. Remei B'Premishlan, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, God lo otzum. His Avodas Hashem was unbelievable. You see the way he davened Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Abnormal davening was unbelievable. Nebuch, before the Yom HaNoraim, his daughter was very, very sick. And she, Nebuch, from day to day, her temperature was going up, and she was eating less, and she was going into almost like a coma. It was getting worse and worse. His davening Rosh Hashanah was second to none. Yom Kippur, the last chance of those of Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mesim, he davened with all his kavon he could possibly master. Nebuch, she deteriorated day for day. And he was preparing and building his sukkah, and he was going through sukkahs. And it was hard, it was very difficult. But he was keeping it up. On Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, he goes into the room, and his daughter is lying there, semi-conscious, hardly breathing, with a mother sitting next to her crying over Tehillim. You know, a dark room with just a chair and a bed and a few medicine there. And he goes inside and says, Rabbeinu Shalom. It says in the Halacha that just like you take Besuras Tovas, good news Besimcha, you got to take bad news Besimcha. And therefore, the fact that my daughter is lying so ill in bed, so ill, I've got to take this Besimcha. I'm going to take this with happiness. It's obviously what I need at this particular stage. But Rabbeinu Shleilom, on Shmini Atzeres, there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha for the sake of Torah as well. And there's a halacha that you can't ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You can't mix one simcha with the other. And therefore, Rabbeinu Shleilom, you want me to be b'simcha with my daughter? I am tremendously b'simcha with my daughter in that position. I'm going to be b'simcha the sake of Torah. I'll be b'simcha too. But how are we going to do both of this? And he went. And he went to the base of Medrash, and he danced with all his heart. His legs were up and down. His feet were stamping on the ground, and his machshavas were in Shemayim. Unbelievable. And Eima Av Simcha B'Simcha, from that time on, his daughter got better and she survived. Simcha is not relevant of what I have compared to other people. It's what I have, is what I need. And therefore, if a person works on Simcha, first of all, the mitzvah itself of Simcha is a tremendous mitzvah, Rabbeinu Bachaya says. Another element, if a person working with Simcha, shows what level he is, that he's doing the mitzvahs because of Nitzchias, because of Ratzon Hashem, not because of his position in society. Thirdly, if a person works with Simcha, he has a goal, he has a future. If a person does not work with Simcha, ultimately his motivation is going to fail and he's going to end up with nothing. And if it's not with this generation, it'll be with the next generation. That's B'Simcha. And thirdly, Simcha is all about not what I could be having or not what other people have, it's about what I have, and thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for the position that I have and being given in this particular stage. We should all be zoicha to have emistic Simcha, to have a Simcha, you know, certain elements, people talk about the Simcha. Simcha means real Simcha. Yeah? And Simcha, not only do you have to feel it, you've got to express it too. I think Alter von Kelb saw one particular bocher and he's saying to him, "You're a gazlan." He went past intuition on Shabbos, says, "Du bist a gazlan, you're a thief." Such a shock. Alter von Kelb calls him a thief. He goes around, you know, what should he do, mate, today? No, but that's cheshbon nefesh, self. What did he do? A few days later, he says, "You know why you're a thief? Because when you are oisik and learning, you've got a very, very serious face. People wish you could Shabbos, you ignore them." So what right do you have? What right do you have to ignore people? Rav Sol Salanta says, he once saw a person walking in the street miserable. Why? He's doing tshuva. He's doing tshuva. It's miserable to do tshuva. He said, "I've got to lose because you're doing tshuva. You're doing tshuva. That's your problem. I've got to lose because you're doing tshuva." It's like having a big neon sign outside your house, drop dead. "It's not my house. What do you want?" "But it's very offensive." We've got to not only be the simcha, we've got to show simcha.
Why that does them?
You're stealing from the other person's happiness.
That simcha was based on you.
I'm sorry?
That simcha was based on the person.
Simcha is based on the person, but the person is based, firstly, he can build himself up with a hashkafa of what mitzvahs are, and he can become a different person through simcha. A person can become a different person through simcha.
So how would another person affect you?
No, because if you see miserable people walking around, you know, it does get to you eventually. You know?
So I'm saying Simcha is based on everyone else.
Simcha can, should be based on yourself. You should be able to be the Simcha, yeah, ideally, even though everyone else is miserable. You're right. But you're not dealing with a deal situation, and other people do affect you. And you see a bunch of miserable people, you do eventually begin, you know, getting a little bit miserable too. And therefore, if a person misses your Shabbos, a guy gives you a miserable face back, you are stealing simcha from that person. Okay? So even with all the tshuva and all the ma'asim tovim that we do, we've got to make sure it's done with simcha. That gives us hope for our children, it gives us hope for ourselves, and it gives us hope for the Nitzchias. Thank you very much.